Thanks everyone for coming this afternoon. Today, I'm going to talk about arsenic retention mechanisms on delta manganese oxide, specifically during the oxidation of arsenic 3. So it kind of ties into our last talk. Really quick, we've seen some background of arsenic today, but arsenic speciation in the environment really controls its toxicity and its solubility and its mobility. And there are several pathways in soils for the oxidation of arsenite to arsenate, and I will be focusing on the oxidation by manganese 4 oxide minerals. Manganese 4 oxides are very strong oxidants, as we've seen in the previous talk and in the literature. But recent research has shown that some of these some biogenic manganese oxide minerals, these manganese oxides that are precipitated on the surfaces of bacteria and fungi, might be some of the most reactive and potentially most important manganese oxide phases in the environment. We used a phase that we call delta manganese oxide. It's a poorly crystalline, small particle size manganese oxide that is a fairly reasonable analog to the biogenic phases in terms of reactivity. When arsenic is oxidized by delta manganese oxides, we have the potential for a fairly complex system. Arsenic 3, when it's reacted with the manganese 4 and the delta manganese oxide, can produce soluble arsenic 5 and manganese 2, but the surface of the manganese oxide can be quite complicated. It's readily known that manganese oxides are good sorbents for manganese 2. And also, it's been shown in the literature that arsenic 5 can bind directly to manganese oxides. Some recent studies have indicated that it might be possible that arsenic could bind to the manganese oxide surface through a bridging complex with manganese 2. And it's also been seen that manganese 3 can form, not as a sorb species, but rather as a partially reduced surface site with a different reactivity than manganese 4 in the manganese oxide structure. So our goals were to characterize the kinetics of arsenic oxidation by this poorly crystalline manganese oxide and compare that to maybe what's been seen in the literature with some more crystalline phases, and also determine the role that manganese 2 and 3 might have in the retention of arsenic over time on these manganese oxide surfaces. Also in the literature, it's been seen that quite commonly that the reactivity of manganese oxides over time for their ability to oxidize arsenic decreases because of surface passivation. So we also wanted to see if we noticed that with this more poorly crystalline phase and what might be the mechanisms that would be causing that. To do these experiments, we used a stirred flow reactor that had 1 gram per liter of our delta manganese oxide, and we flowed 100 micromolar arsenite through the reactor for 48 hours. All of our reactions were buffered around pH 7. In our reactor, the mobile phase flowed into the bottom and was mixed by a magnetic stir bar. The solid phase was held in place by a filter, and the eluent flowed out of the top. We collected it, the eluent, in a fraction collector, and measured arsenic speciation and manganese in the liquid. And we also, for solid phase analysis, we stopped the flow into the reactor, collected all of the solid out of the reactor, and took it to SSRL for Zanes and XF's analysis on manganese and manganese and arsenic. This is what the data looks like for the effluent of the stirred flow reactor. I'll point out that here on the y-axis, I'm plotting it in amount rather than concentration, and that's just so that we can look at the sorbed arsenic on the same scale as the dissolved arsenic and manganese. In the very early phases, we see no arsenic being released into the reactor effluent and no manganese present, indicating that all the arsenic at the very first 30 minutes of our reaction is sorbed onto the manganese oxide surface. Then for the first 5 hours, the only species that we see in solution is arsenate, indicating that all the arsenic that we add is oxidized before it can be removed from the reactor. So this first 5 hours of reaction kind of matches with what other people have seen with some less, with some more crystalline oxides, in that it's a period of high reactivity where all of the arsenic is oxidized. Then we go into a transition phase where we start to see arsenic 3 and manganese 2 appear into solution, indicating that all of the arsenic that we're adding is no longer being oxidized. So the surface has lost some of its ability to oxidize arsenic over time, as well as its ability to absorb possible manganese 2 that's being produced. And after about 15 hours through 48 hours, we see a period of pseudo-equilibrium. We're not at equilibrium because you can see the slope here. We're still dissolving arsenic and having redox happening, but it's occurring at a fairly constant rate over time. So when we look at one thing I wanted to say, the blue lines aren't just to help you get an idea of the different phases of the reaction. These are the time points where we stopped the reaction and collected the solid phase for analysis to do XF. So when we look at these next data, the spectroscopy, it's at these five time points that we're looking at. When we look at the arsenic zanes to get an idea of what the oxidation state of arsenic is in the solid phase during the reaction, we see that arsenic is present as arsenic 5 throughout the reaction. So we don't see any indication that we're absorbing arsenic as arsenic 3. But the manganese data tells a little bit of a different story. These are the three standards that we use, and we fit our experimental data with these using linear combination fits to get an idea of the distribution of arsenic, of manganese 2, 3, and 4 in the solid phase over time. And what we see, not surprisingly, is a decrease in manganese 4 concentration over time, which is what we expect. The initial starting material is almost completely manganese 4, so as arsenic is being oxidized, manganese 4 is being reduced. But we see an increase in manganese 2 for the first 10 hours of reaction, and that's, if you remember, the most reactive portion of the time when we see manganese, the delta manganese oxide, being the most reactive in terms of arsenic oxidation. But after that time, we see the manganese 2 concentration in the solid decrease a little bit. And when we see manganese 2 decrease at 24 and 48 hours, that's the time when we see manganese 3 start to increase. So the reduced manganese, especially manganese 3, starts to appear as the delta manganese oxide becomes less reactive. When we look at arsenic excess to get an idea of what the local binding environment is for arsenic and what kind of surface species we might have, the first thing we did was we just did an adsorption experiment. We just adsorbed arsenic 5 to pristine delta manganese oxide to get an idea of what the complex would look like without oxidation present. And the only surface complex that we see is a binuclear bidentate adsorption complex. However, when we react arsenic 3 and we have oxidation taking place, we see the binuclear bidentate complex once again, but we also see the presence of this mononuclear monodentate complex. So the adsorption of arsenic during oxidation is a more complex reaction and possibly different reactions going on at the surface rather than just adsorption, when only adsorption is taking place. When we look at the last three time points of the reaction, we see the same mononuclear monodentate complex and the binuclear bidentate complex like we saw in the earlier time points. But we also see the presence of this mononuclear bidentate complex, and this only shows up when we see significant amounts of manganese 3 accumulating at the surface. And so what we're thinking is that this mononuclear bidentate complex could be arsenic 5 binding to the manganese 3 reactive sites rather than the manganese 4 reactive sites on the surface. So if you recall, I mentioned earlier the possibility of maybe a bridging complex being responsible for some of the arsenic binding. And to investigate that, we decided to do some desorption experiments. So what we did was we carried out our stirred flow experiment with arsenic 3 and oxidized arsenic 3 for 24 hours. And at 24 hours, we stopped adding arsenic 3, and then we began to add either calcium or phosphate, or we also did some a control experiment. And the idea was that calcium would be competition for manganese and would be a desorbent for manganese, and phosphate would desorb arsenic. But what we thought we would see if we were having some kind of a bridging complex is that if calcium was able to desorb manganese more appreciably than phosphate or the background electrolyte could, we would also see an increased arsenic desorption when we saw an increase in manganese desorption, and that might indicate a bridging complex. And so when we look at the data in terms of manganese desorption, it behaves the way we expect it to behave. Phosphate doesn't appreciably desorb any more manganese than our background electrolyte. However, calcium does. We see an increase in desorption of manganese. But when we look at the arsenic desorption, calcium doesn't desorb arsenic in any more effectively than our background electrolyte. However, phosphate does, which we expected. But since calcium doesn't desorb arsenic any more effectively, we think that indicates that we probably don't have this bridging complex happening in our system. So when we look at the overall reaction of arsenic 3 with delta manganese oxide, we get a more complete picture when we look at not just the reaction after 48 hours or after a set time, but when we look at the reaction with the kinetics in mind. We can see several species appearing in solution, and we see that the surface becomes less reactive over time, and that decrease in reactivity corresponds to the accumulation of manganese 3 in the surface and manganese 2 sorbed to the surface. And we also see that we can have several different binding mechanisms of arsenic 5. So I think kind of the take-home message is that it's important to look at these reactions with time, and because this reaction changes obviously with time, and even after 48 hours, we feel like it's probably has a potential to change even more. And with that, I'd like to thank my advisor, Dr. Sparks, and our group for the help, and the USDA and NSF for funding support. Thanks. Maybe if I can get back to it. Yes?
Those are second and third shelves, right? For like 48 hours or 24 hours.
You mean this one right here?
Yeah.
Actually, that's a split second shell. I mean, a split manganese shell, right? So we have.
So they're both manganese?
Yeah. Thanks.